was there for about 8 months, couldn't get out, and that's when Carol got involved. I mean, they phoned her up and she came straight more or less straight away and started helping me get out of the care home, because the council was mucking about in his flat, and said I could come home, and then I couldn't, and then I could. That went on for a good couple of months, and then Carol would come, and it seemed to quicken things up, and I got out of there and got back home.
Brilliant, and that's what you wanted to do, so you wanted to get back to your own home and your own environment.
Yeah, and well, because the care home I was in, I've got some disabilities, but some of them were really bad, and you know, I was stuck in a care home with them sort of people. I feel sorry for them, but I don't want to be with them 24/7. It just brings you down in the end.
You're very friendly with some of them, though, because Paul's a very friendly person. You're very friendly.
Yeah, I've left a mark there.
So how did you... So was that the first time you... So Carol came and saw you... Has Carol always been your advocate?
Well, no. Ever since... I mean, I met Carol... When Carol first came to the care home and saw me...
So since then, I've been his advocate.
Yeah. She's been there.
Some of our volunteers have come with me sometimes, haven't they?
Yeah, but it's always been Carol.
And what sort of things does Carol help you with then? Is that kind of... What sort of... Is it making phone calls or talking to people? What does Carol do?
I don't like talking to people on the phone. I can sometimes, but Carol does do a lot of it. And the letters, because I've only got eyesight in one eye. And my handwriting's not that good, and my spelling's not good either. But Carol does do the letters for me. She sends out letters and that. So, I'll get a letter. And if it's a nasty hate letter, I phone Carol up, and she normally comes with it. She can't come the next day, she'll come a couple of days as soon as she can. So, we sort it out. And she's handy, sort of thing.
You get somebody that can kind of get back to you very quickly.
Yeah. Because I've got a couple of sisters, and they do help me a lot as well. But my oldest sister's the best one. But she's got troubles, health troubles herself. And she's just become a grandmother, so she's... Any spare time she's got, she has with the baby, this is understandable, but, so that's a good thing, really. I've got Carol, to phone up if I've got any problems. It does help me a lot.
We talk to the Housing Association, don't we? If he needs repairs done here, Paul will call me and I ring them up, and then they get the repairs done. Because sometimes things don't happen, very quickly, so we can sort that out more quickly, can't we? Which is good.
Well, see, I mean, it's just sort of, sometimes I can't find the phone number for someone. I've got a phone out. I know Carol's got it, so I always phone up to get all the numbers. Then Carol always says, "Do you want me to phone them for you?" My answer's normally yeah. Straight away, and she does it. That's good.
Yeah.
And then we sorted out your gas and electric, didn't we? Got that all sorted out.
Because
there were some problems from residue from the debt situation that the gas and electricity hadn't quite cottoned on properly. So we managed to get that sorted out, didn't we? But that was on phone calls again when I was here. I was doing phone calls for Paul. So things are looking pretty good now, aren't they?
Well, let's see, yeah. I mean, Carol's also helped me manage my money like an adult. So I've got a proper bank account and everything now, which I never had. Carol come down the bank with me and help me sort that out. But
and how does that? How do you think? Does that make a difference?
Because part of my money goes in the bank, part goes in the post office, so I know what I can and can't touch. It does help me a lot.
And new bills are now. We help Paul to. He wanted to get direct debit set up. So we've got direct debit set up, so he hasn't got to worry about a payment. He knows that certain things are paid by direct debit, and he's not got, if he's not well, he doesn't have to go out to pay the bill. or get behind because it's paid by direct debit, which gives Paul a feeling of security, I think, doesn't it? That he knows these things are happening now, which weren't before. It helps him to keep control of what's, you know, spending and such like.
Yes, it's a lot better. I mean, like, you know, it's... I mean, I make people laugh. So, you know, I'm a pot of grown-up now. I never used to be. And at my age, I should have been, but I've never had to, I've never had a bank account. It's always been a post office. But, as I say, it's just weird sometimes. So I think I'm paying all my bills and everything. You know, years ago, when I was with my ex, I used to give her the money to pay the bills, and never used to do it. That's why I was in so much debt. And Carol had to help me out.
It was a big transition to make, and with somebody else.
And Paul now, he's confident enough, he goes down the bank on his own, he gets statements, he talks to them about any issues, don't you, at the bank. He's got more confident now, and he can go and do that himself. And that's what Advocates is around, is about helping people to get that confidence to go and do things themselves. So. Yeah, he is a grown-up now. Very proud. He's done very well.
So anyway, it's tough with some of these services because you think sometimes, you know, I wish I could give them a PIN number and say they have to remember it when they contact me, not the other way around.
I know. Yeah. It's terrible. Mm. Okay.
Yeah, I think there's some great, some really good things there.
Good.
I mean, probably one of the last things, Paul, will be, and it's not going to happen. I think Advocacy First have been in a good position, and you know, as an organisation, and they've got. But there is always the worry for charities that if they don't get funded by the council or by hospitals or by people in the community, that a service could go and not exist anymore. And so if that situation were to happen for Advocacy First, what would you say to somebody who was thinking about funding that service or giving money to that service? Why should they do it?
I would say that they are a first-class organisation, and if I had the money, I'd chip in a little bit, you know what I mean? If I won the lottery, you know, I'd be Carol Tenner and say, get everyone a cake. No, I would. If I had the money, I would. Because I think sometimes, I mean, I'm sitting here sometimes on my own and I think this sad old cripple. But then I think to myself, before I met Carol and she helped me out, I was a lot worse. And I've become a lot happier. You know? And, that's purely because of the help I've got from Carol and the rest of them, and they're all really good people. You never sort of think, I'm the sort of person, never really used to see the good in people. I never trusted no one, but that was just the way I was. But when I first met Carol, I thought, you're going to be a lot of old talk and no help. But at least she's brilliant, she really is. I've got a lot of time for Carol, and if I could help sort out some money, if I could give any money, I would do. But I just think it's an organisation that could do without. And it could help a lot more people as well, because I think myself, there are probably people in my sort of like, position don't know about Carol because there's not enough information out there letting people know about Advocacy First. Now, you know, if people knew about it a bit more, they'd get a lot more help.
Yeah.
You know, ease off on the social workers as well. Because, like, Carol does a better job than most of them anyway. But
thank you.
Just my faults.
It's very good timing.
Yeah, just about to run out.